this topic.
Yo, I don't even know you and I hate you. See, all I know is that my girlfriend used to date you. How would you feel if she held you down and raped you? Tried and tried, but she never could escape you. She was in love, and I'd ask you how. I mean, why? What kind of love from a nigga would black your eye? What kind of love from a nigga every night make you cry? What kind of love from a nigga make you wish he would die? I mean, shit, he bought you things and gave you diamond rings, but them things wasn't worth none of the pain that he brings, and you stayed. What made you fall for him? That nigga had the power to make you crawl for him. I thought you was a doctor, be on call for him. Smack you down, cause he said you was too tall for him. That wasn't love, baby girl, you was dreaming. I could've killed you when you said your seed was growing from his
love
semen.
Is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is surely not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind,
and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is surely not. You need to elevate and find.
I don't even know you when I kill you myself. You played with her like a doll and put her back on the shelf. Wouldn't let her go to school and better herself. She had a baby by your ass and you ain't give her no help, uh-huh. Big time hustler, snake motherfucker. One's born every day and every day she was your sucker. How could you beat the mother of your kid? How could you tell her that you love her? Don't give a fuck if she lived. She told me she would leave you, I admit it, she did. But came back, made up a lie about you missing your kids. Sweet kisses, baby ain't even know she was your mistress. Had to deal with fist fights and phone calls from your bitches. Lost like you possessed her, telling me to mind my business. That it was her life and stay the fuck out of it. I tried and said just for him I keep a ready clip.
Love is blind, and it'll take over your mind. What you think is love is surely not. You need to elevate and find.
Love is blind.
Pretty people, pretty life, pretty deuces. Hey, this is your favorite girl, Millie in the City. My beautiful co-host will be calling in. She is at an event. We want to welcome you to our talk radio show, Connect the City, guys. On this show, we cover the entire gamut on politics, entertainment, relationships, celebrity and trendy news, and current events. And we're going to connect it all to the city. So let's jump right in, guys. How is everybody doing? I have a guest co-host. His name is, it's my son, oh my goodness, it is Shane Holmes. Shane, welcome to Connect the City, sir.
How you guys doing up
there? Oh, wow. You got the whole deep kind of voice going in. We are talking about the Me Too movement. We're honoring the Me Too movement, and we're talking about the Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I'm very excited to talk about that, but it's going to be a stressful topic, so I'm going to bring my callers in just a few minutes, in a few seconds. But I really want to advise everyone to just be respectful when you hear someone's story. Let them speak and let them finish and just really be as positive as you possibly can. So we will bring, we have several callers on the line this evening. So we'll just bring them in one by one, guys. The last four digits is 8428. Caller, you're on with Connect the City. May we have your name?
Hi, this is Eva Pinkley.
Hi, Eva. I'm going to introduce you in one moment. Can you hold on the line?
Sure.
Last four digits, 2631. You're on with Connect the City. May we have your name, please?
Diane White.
Diane, how are you? Thank you for joining us this evening.
You're welcome.
I'm going to bring everyone else in, if you just give me a moment. And I'm going to bring everyone in. This is an interactive radio show, so everyone will have a good chance to speak. Caller with the last four digits of 7919. You're on with Connect the City. May I have your name? Okay. If you want to be silent, that is fine, and not give your name, that is A-okay with us. Caller with the last four digits of 6960. caller with the last four digits of 6960. May we have your name, please?
Hi, my name's Deborah Buck. I'm a
supporter. Hi, Deborah Buck.
Hi.
You're a supporter of, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What'd you say?
I'm a supporter of Eva Pinckney.
Excellent. Thank you so much for calling in.
Sure.
I am as well, ma'am.
Oh, great. Diane White?
Yes. Eva's my cousin.
Okay. Oh, great, guys. Thank you so much for supporting her. She is our special guest. I'll be introducing her in a moment. If you can, please, if you're not going to be talking, you can mute yourself or just turn your radios down. I'm going to bring in the very, very beautiful J.B. Jones. J.B. Jones, how are you this evening?
I'm doing wonderful. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay.
Great, great. Glad
please
to be
say
a part
hi
this
to,
evening.
Right. Please say a hi, a big hello to our guest co-host, Shane Holmes.
Well, good evening, co-host. Thank you for sitting in for me this evening.
So we, like I said, we are going to start talking about the Me Too movement, as JV, you may be well aware. But we're also going to go for the second half of the show and speak with our very, very special guest. I actually saw her yesterday. I'm so happy to see her. She wears these red glasses, JV, so you know it's her, right? And she's about
right.
4 foot tall. No, I'm kidding. She's amazing. Her name is Eva Pinckney. She has a book out there called, she's an author, has a book out there called Crazy Is As Crazy Does. She's been at some festivals with us. And she's also a domestic violence survivor. So we are very, very excited to have her on the show. Ms. Pinckney, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Your supporters called in pronto at 7 p.m.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
Oh, I'm so happy. So we want to jump right into it. I was going to go Facebook Live, but it doesn't like me, so I'm going to go Facebook Live in a minute. We really want to start off by speaking about the Me Too movement. With everything going on, JV, don't you agree that the Me Too movement is more prevalent now than ever?
Yes, I'm so happy that the movement has just taken over a subject that definitely needs to be addressed. So I'm excited.
You know, with so many things happening, JV, I forgot, it sounds bad, that it started off with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, I tell you, boy. And
well,
it
he's not in jail,
since.
Though.
Okay.
Well, he's not in jail.
Right.
Bill Cosby's in jail, but he's not. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's okay. It's all right.
So, basically, the Me Too movement is actually hashtag Me Too movement also. It has many local and international alternatives. It's a movement against sexual harassment and sexual assault. The hashtag MeToo spread virally last year, October, a year ago, as a hashtag used on social media in an attempt to demonstrate the widespread prevalence of sexual assault and harassment, especially in the workplace. So then it followed soon after the sexual misconduct allegations against who else? Harvey Weinstein, Tarana Burke. And Tarana Burke is an American social activist and community organizer. She began using the phrase Me Too as early as 2006. And the phrase was later popularized by American actress Alyssa Milano, love her, on Charmed, okay, and on Twitter in 2017. So she encouraged victims of sexual harassment to tweet about it and give people a sense of the magnitude of the problem. Here's my question to you, JV, and some of the callers on the phone. I did not know that this lady, Tarana Burke, said it in 2006. Why did it take, why did it take so long, do you think, for someone to just kind of tweet last year and say, Me Too?
Do you want me to address it or one of
yes.
the ladies?
And then the lady, you are our co-host.
Well, I think it's probably almost like what happened recently. A lot of the women, you know, they're ridiculed. They don't want to say anything because, you know, they're not believed, or it's always their fault, you know, as opposed to, you know, the man or whoever. So I think that's why a lot of women really, you know, take so long to come out. But I'm just thankful that they did. And it's a movement that really can't be stopped now. So I'm just grateful.
Let me ask you this, Ms. White, the Me Too movement, what do you think about it as its progression at this point?
Say that one more time, please.
What do you think about the progression of the Me Too movement? How prevalent is it at this point?
I think that women have stepped out, but if you look at the young lady, I mean the lady, what's her name, Miss Ford, she stepped out, but she was ridiculed so much. And I just did a workshop on molestation and rape and all of that. And a lot of times we feel that it's our fault. The abuser make us feel like it's our fault, and that we tell anyone that it, you know, it will, they will hurt us, or they'll hurt our parents, or it will kill our parents to know. So for me, I held it for years and years and years. I never told anybody till I was grown. And the Lord set me free to be able to tell other women. And it was such a blessing, because it was like 150 women that I had the privilege to speak to about two weeks ago. And they opened up. A lot of them opened up, and a lot of them didn't. But I think that's the reason why, you know, that we don't come forward like we should when it first happens to us. And sometimes we are blamed for, you know, we as children are blamed for it, and we are just babies. We don't even know what's happening to us ourselves.
I got you. So, the Me Too movement.
Can I add to that just a little bit? I think it makes us feel like we're fast, or, you know, it makes us look bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that is part of it as well.
I agree. I
think the biggest thing, and I'd love to get to you, Ms. Buck, I think the biggest thing about the Me Too movement is that not only, you know, we'll get to the domestic violence piece of it in a little bit, but this is where we make our money. We're at work. And it's so funny, well, it's not even funny, it's funny, not ha-ha, but funny how I just read a story about three young ladies who are suing the manager at Dave & Buster's. And my son and I spoke about this. Dave & Buster's, because, you know, he wanted sexual acts and stuff like that to get better hours. What else did they say, Shane? Better hours, better work schedules and things of that nature. And both of my children are servers, okay, and they've been in the serving industry. I didn't realize how important it was for one to get some hours so they can make some money, you know. The more hours you work, the more that you make, and to have to deal with that in the workplace, you don't say anything. They were very brave to come together and speak out. Do you agree, Ms. Buck?
Yes, I do. I'm happy that they did speak out, because then maybe other kids, because they were young people that work at David Buster's and McDonald's and places like that, that going through the same thing. So I'm real happy that they spoke up.
I want to bring just one more person on the line. The last four digits of 1662. Caller, you're on with Connected City. May we have your name?
Anika.
Hi, Anika. How are you, beautiful?
Hey, Millie. How are you?
Fine. It's been my friend for, what, how many years? We have a song about her, but we won't say it on the radio. Thank you for calling in, because we will be talking about the domestic violence piece. I wanted you on the line because you were an integral part of me. I think I told you, you were the first person I ever told about my domestic violence issues with a boyfriend, and that was huge. So we'll talk about that in about 5 minutes. We will discuss that. Right now we're discussing the Me Too movement. I want to know, JD, did you see, I've got to pull up my Facebook page, but did you see, I put it up on Connect the City as a post. It was a young lady, she had on Daisy Dukes, but they weren't inappropriate. They were really cute. I believe she had on a jean shirt, but, you know, she had a little cleavage showing, not too much. She looked really cute, like she was at the bar, and she was sitting. And it said the post on Instagram, was it Twitter, Shane? Do you remember?
I think it might have been Instagram.
Instagram, where it said, oh, she better stop wearing that or she's going to get Kavanaugh'd. Did you see that crap, JB?
Oh, yeah, I saw it. And
what?
It's really sad. Yeah, it's sad.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm. And it
did
almost
anybody
makes
else
you feel like we just have an advance when it comes to women. We're not respected.
Right. We have
Yeah,
not,
we're not respected.
JB, did anybody else see that? Because I just don't understand. I like to kind of feel cute sometimes, and maybe I still got it, and maybe I could wear cute little stuff. And now I might be, now
what
I may be Kavanaugh. Wait, are you serious? Like I'm 46, and maybe I still got it sometimes. I wanna, don't get me started. Do not get me started. Did anybody else see that, or is it just JV and I?
I didn't see it. Let's see if I'm on.
It is. If you go on Connect the City and look at one of the posts,
I didn't see it, but I think that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. I think it was hashed in Kavanaugh. Like it's like it was a verb.
Like it was a word, right? That's the way it was going to be.
It was an action. It's an action verb. Action verb. Oh, I'm going back to high school, JV. Oh, my gosh. I think the Me Too movement is amazing. I know they spoke about it. I want to say the day before yesterday, they had, because it's cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness month, and they talked about the Me Too movement also, and I love they had a whole show about it. And so many people are coming out. Does anybody have anything else they want to speak to about the Me Too movement before we move on to our special guest? JV?
I'm sorry, okay, I had it muted because I
no,
didn't
everybody
want to
is
background noise.
Everybody
is I'm sorry. Can you say that again because I have a lot of background
I said,
noise.
We're getting ready to move on to the domestic violence part of the show, and I just want to know if you had anything else to say about the Me Too movement. I just think everybody's so brave. Do you have any final thoughts on that?
No, I just hope that everyone will, if they are in a situation or have experienced it, will just come out. Hopefully now it's, you know, okay for women to do that. So I just pray that, you know, women feel like they can find justice in this day and time, even though it's hard.
Yeah, you just feel like, you know, if like... I'm just frustrated because it's just like, can we do something? What I found is so many women now are still in the workplace, but they have about three or four different hustles because either they're baking cookies, they have their own business. Our special guest wrote a book. Actually, I think she's written two, and I'm going to ask her. And we have to do so many things so we don't have to work for the man because half of that is they want something from us. And our life would be so much better if we just open up our legs or let them do something sexual to us and anything. And it's just so frustrating. I get so angry about that.
And the sad part about it is it's like it's an expectation
yes, ma'am.
Of the men that we should be fine with it and acceptable of it. And when you don't, they look at you like, well, what's wrong with you? So
mm-hmm.
I think that's, for me, is the sad part.
Yeah, it's really, really sad. Well, I wanted to touch on the Me Too movement because I just feel like even the hashtag, JB, is bringing out awareness because the phrase Me Too was tweeted by Milano. Remember I told you that? And about October 2017, but it's been used more than 200,000 times. And by the end of the day, and it was treated more than 500,000 times by October 16th. So it took a whole day. And then on Facebook, the hashtag was used more than 4.7 million people in 12 million posts during the first 24 hours. That platform reported that 45% of users in the United States had a friend who posted using the term. So that must mean just how powerful it is, and it's gaining beautiful and recognizable momentum. Would you agree, JD?
Oh, most definitely.
Well, I wanted to, like I said, address that, and I know you're on the phone, JD. One of the main topics, and I saved, not the best for last, but I saved this topic for last, we are going to be honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and now that everybody's on the line, it feels like we've all gone through this, which is really just so sad. I've got my Facebook people on now. Finally, JV, my Facebook live works. Oh, my gosh. Well, we have special guest Miss Eva Pinkney. She is the author of Crazy Is As Crazy Does, Part 1. So, you know, we're really excited for Part 2, right? She's also a survivor. Yes, she's also a survivor of domestic violence abuse. But I quickly want to say, before she comes on and speaks with us about her story, I love this lady, JV. I mean, I met her, and she was just so humble and so graceful, JV. I mean, I was like, wow. She's very short, though. I love it. Because there's somebody shorter than me, and it's so nice. I'm not the shortest one in the room. Right. And she's got these red glasses. So I'm at a show last night with J. Cole, and I look, and from behind to the side, I see these red glasses. And so we embraced and things of that nature, and she agreed to be a special guest on the show. So we want to say welcome, Ms. Pinkney, and thank you for being on Connect the City.
Thank you, Millie. It's my pleasure.
Okay, so you want to turn anything down if you have any background noise? Do you have a tad bit of an echo?
Okay. Is it better now?
It is better now. Can you tell us briefly about your book?
The book is about, basically it's about a woman that catches her man in bed with her best friend. And she spirals out of control, and she starts questioning if she's becoming her mother, who's schizophrenic. So she's afraid that she might be mentally ill, too. So that's basically what it's about. But then I kind of go back to childhood, because I wanted my readers to connect with the characters so that when I get to part two, they'll be hooked, which they are, and they'll want to know, you know, what's happening with Amber next. So that's basically what the book is about.
Oh, I
and
love
it's part
that.
My life,
you know?
It's part my life, and it's part fiction. So, you know, it's a good story.
Excellent. Oh, God, I have the book. I have started reading it, and I will be hooked. I already know, because I'm just like, I'm not sure what I would do. Okay, I'm lying. I know what I would do if I caught you in bed with my best friend. I digress. JV, what do you think you'd do?
Well, I can say what the logical mind would be to walk away. But, of course, you know, I can't say what the illogical mind would do. So I'm going to leave that one alone.
Wow. So, Ms. Pinkney, we wanted to hear your story. And I guess I said, again, we thank you for just coming on to share your story with us. And the sad part about it is, I think we all have. And a story. This is why I asked one of my best friends to just come on, who never calls into the show. She doesn't support me. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, guys. I'm just joking. I'm just playing, Amika. I'm just joking. will you share whatever you would like of your story, and then we can all, you know, ask questions, and other people may share as well?
Well, what I think that I really want women to understand is that when you find yourself in a situation where you have someone that you love more than life and they're beating on you, that, you know, you should never blame yourself. And because you can let a man make you feel like you're less than. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're
mm-hmm.
not good enough. And I was
mm-hmm.
young when this man got to me, and he was older than
oh.
me. And I, you know, mm. lived and died, you know, his every movement. And so when he first started hitting on me, I thought that I did something to trigger him. I blamed myself every time. And then, you know, I should have left. But, you know, he was hooked on drugs, and
mm.
I was old
oh,
school,
wow.
and I thought that, you know, you're supposed to stay with somebody when they're sick. And I did everything to try mm-hmm. to help him, but it just got worse and worse, and the beatings got worse. And, you know, not only did I have to take the physical beatings, but then I would, like, go out into the world or around my friends with black eyes and have to go to work like that, which I had to do because I had to take care of my kids. And it was rough, you know, because everybody was opinionated. You know, everybody was like, oh, you're stupid, or you should do this, or you should do that. And it was really, really hard for me. But when I look back on it now, I realized that I was depressed. And I didn't know how to come out of the situation. And I think that depression is a form of mental illness. You know,
yes,
and,
it is.
And I think that as black people, we don't discuss it enough. And that's why I wrote that book, Crazy as Crazy Does, Part One, because
mm-hmm.
we need to have more open discussions about mental illness. You know, because I think it kept me in that rut. You know what I'm saying? Until finally I was strong enough. My father said to me one day, he said, you cannot walk around in fear. Because this man started stalking me. You know, when I left him, he was, like, walking up on me and, you know, wanting to fight me. And, you know, my family was all involved. And just it was hard, you know. And I took my daughter through hell, you know. And I look back on it now, and I'm just so glad that I was able to get myself together and walk away from that situation and never look back. And now I feel like I'm living my best life.
Oh, I love that. Oh, you are amazing with the glasses. You're very stylish, and you're always smiling. You're always happy to see people. So I love that. I want to give you a big round of applause.
Millie, is it okay if I ask one question of Ms. Pinkney?
Yes, right after I bring in the caller with the last four digits of 4131. Caller, you're on with Connected City. May we have your name?
Yes, my name is Maggie Denise. I went to high school with Eva, and I am so proud of her, and just keep doing the good work. I'm also a member of Sisters of Sickness, and we do a lot of work surrounding domestic violence, HIV, AIDS, and things of that nature.
Yes,
but
I do. Yeah,
we've been doing great jobs, and I'm going to continue to listen.
Okay, what is your name? One more time, please.
Denise. I went to school with Denise.
Denise.
Yeah. Oh, Denise, I can hear you, but it's a weird.
It's muffled a little bit. Yeah.
Denise,
did you
I went
say
to
Denise?
School with Eva. Yes.
Oh,
okay. Denise. Okay, Denise.
Yes.
Got
you. Yeah, we went to school together. Maggie, Denise.
Denise, I want to introduce you. There are a lot of people on the line. Of course, special guest Eva Pinkney, our special co-host Shane Holmes, which is my son, and our beautiful, illustrious co-host J.B. Jones. Please say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Sorry for joining so late. I'm I'm still working.
No. I got all we all
for calling in. I have one question for Ms. Pinkney, and I'm asking this because this was something that I experienced myself when I went through the domestic violence situation. Did you find that the part that may have been more difficult was once you, or you feared what was going to happen once you left?
If I feared what was going to happen once I left, you know, once I left, I was ready. I made a promise to myself that before I turned 30, I was going to be out of the situation. So, you know, I think that every day I was thinking it through, and nobody believed me when I finally divorced this person because they were like, she's never going to leave. So when I did, everybody was in shock. They were like, she really did it. But it took me years to get there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. The reason why I say that is because for me, I knew that it was going to be rough once I left because I knew the stalking was going to begin. And when I heard you speak about the stalking, I was just wondering if that was one of the things that probably really ran through your mind that, wow, once I leave this man, it's really, because I hear a lot of women, that's when they really go through it, is once they leave.
Yeah, it was really hard for me, but I had family support. You know, I had my father, my mother, my brothers, you know, everybody was like there for me. It was like, you know, so that was, although the stalking was horrible because he would show up at my job. You know, I'm lucky that I worked with people that really cared about me, that I didn't get fired because he caused a lot of confusion everywhere he came, you know, and I was. So it was a difficult period. But like I said, I've always had that love and support from my fam. So that got me through.
Yeah,
oh,
very
great.
Important. Yeah.
And it's not funny, but JB, when I just heard that that story, you know, I interviewed you for domestic violence. The name of the interview is not coming to me. If it's on YouTube, you can just look up JB Jones or Millie in the City. I heard some of the things that she was saying, and I thought about you instantly because those are some of the things that you also said.
Yeah, and it's really sad because I think it's indicative of a good majority of the domestic violence situations. I mean, you go through all of what you go through, and then once you leave, you're still going through it. You feel like once you leave, it's like, oh, I can breathe. I can, you know, I'm away from this person. But I'm not going to say that I didn't feel some relief, but I almost feel like I was still just as, you know, traumatized afterwards as I was in the relationship. So it was a very, very hard time for me because I felt like when I was there, I kind of, even though he was abusive and everything, if I said the right thing, if I kept him at bay, he wasn't as violent. It was when I talked about leaving and when I left, when he did a lot of, I was scared that he was going to kill me. I just was. I was scared that he was going to shoot me. He was going to, you know, come up on me and do something, you know, because he spoke about doing these things. So for me, I think it was just as traumatic after leaving as it was being there.
And that is absolutely ridiculous. We do have someone on Facebook Live who said she was a victim of domestic violence. I won't say her name unless she gives me permission. Violence. And she relocated to another state. Wow. That's huge. Did anybody on this line know of anyone or them themselves have to relocate to another state?
Does going from D.C. to Maryland count? No, I'm just playing.
You know what, David? No, everybody's so good on this phone where they've all muted themselves. So I'm giving them a second. What I will do is, guys, we'll take a quick 30-second break, and I will speak publicly for the first time about the way I went through it, and I thought that it was different than everybody else. So we'll be back in about 30 seconds, guys. You're almost connected.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. Well, that's all right because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. Well, that's alright because I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe. I can't breathe but I still fight. Well, I can fight as long as the wrong feels right. It's like I'm in flight. High off of love, drunk from my hate. It's like I'm huffing pain. I love her the more I suffer. I suffocate right before I'm about to drown. She resuscitates me. She fucking hates me. And I love it. Wait, where you going? I'm leaving you. No, you ain't come back. We're running right back. Here we go again. It's so insane. Cause when it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman with the wind in his back. She's Lois Lane. But when it's bad, it's awful. I feel so ashamed. I snap. Who's that dude? I don't even know his name.
everybody. This is Millie in the City. Welcome back to Connect the City. I probably made the song play too long, but I just love this freaking song. We are talking about, and everybody mute yourself in the background. If you're not speaking, somebody's cooking. I understand that. If you're not going to give us any, then, hey, mute yourself. I'm always, you know, getting food. I assume that J.B. Jones will be bringing me something to eat after her event. But we are, and I mean it, JD, I'm serious. We're talking about the Me Too movement, but we're also talking about honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We have a full load tonight, JZ.
Yes, we do.
We do. The lines just start lighting up, lady.
All right. Let's see what they got to say.
Yes. Does anyone want to kind of speak on their story before I get to mine? I'm stalling. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna lie, JB. It's more difficult than I thought.
Yes, this is Diane. Hello?
Hi, Diane.
Well, you know, sometimes you think because you're not hit that it's not domestic violence, but when you be cursed out and you be cheated on and you come home every day with your husband cursing you out or you know that he's been with another woman, to me that's the same thing. I mean, even, no, I won't say it's the same thing. It's him blacking my eyes and stuff. No, and hitting on me. But when they curse you, I'll call you all kinds of names except a child of God. And they always doing something to belittle you. That is, to me, that's a source of abuse as well.
It is.
So I went through that for 3 years, but I couldn't take it no more. So I'm a different kind. I remember telling him that somebody's going to die today and it's not going to be me. So I had gotten tired of it, you know, and he had to leave, and I had him arrested. He had to leave before, because I could see myself sticking him. I wasn't the type of kind of person that I am now. So it either was going to be my life or his.
Oh, okay.
This is now. But, I mean, even now, if somebody tried to do that, I'm not saying what I would do, but I was a different person at that time.
Right. Do you think that, again, stalling, do you think that, because I feel like at whoever is in the background, I've got to either mute you or try to mute yourself. It sounds like you're cooking or with a bowl or a plate or whatever you guys are doing. I need you to mute yourself. Do you think that, because I know women mature faster than men, do you think anybody can answer this one, that it's immaturity on our part? Oh, I'll let Eva answer that. Do you think we're just immature and just don't know ourselves in the beginning when we start going through this? Or what do you think?
Well, I know for a fact it was definitely immaturity for me, because when I got with this man, I was 17 years old and he was 23. So he was on a different level, and he brought me along. But he also, you know, I was like his little showpiece. You know what I'm saying? So, but if he took me out, I knew a lot of people, because, like you say, Millie, I love to smile. I've always been friendly to everyone. So I knew a lot of men. They weren't people that I dealt with, but they were friends. Mm. And people would try to come up to me and speak to me, and he would I'd give him a look like, please don't speak. It was the worst. I mean, it's like, I felt like I was in a little prison. And I remember when I left him and he started stalking me. My father, you know, when the little brake thing that you put on the wheel that people can't take the car, you know, he had the key to the car, but he could no longer take the car. Yes.
The wheel lock.
So every day I would go outside to go to work and he would have done something different to the car. I came out one day and all four of the tires were flat. Okay, so my father got me through that. Come out the next day, he had bent the windshield wipers. Okay, so he fixed that. You know, and then came out the next day, and I get in the car and closed the door, and the whole back, you know, windshield just shattered. saved my life, but I was numb. You know, it was like, okay, what's he going to do next? But he had got me to the point where I couldn't even cry. And I mean, that carried all the way across. I could go to a funeral and it could be someone close in my family. I couldn't cry. He did something to me. I put up a wall and it made me really cold. And it wasn't the person that I am now because, you know, and finally one day I looked in the mirror and I said, I don't like who I am. And I put forth an effort to change because I wasn't going to let this carry me to my grave. You know what I'm saying? What he had done to me, I had to finally forgive him and let it go.
I got you. So I kind of had to just put everybody on mute except Miss Pinkney and JV because I need to be able to have our special guest get out her story and other people to be able to speak. You don't think you're making noise, but you kind of are. So I will bring you back off mute once hopefully you guys can get that together. You know what, JV and Miss Pinkney, I think it's kind of sad because I know y'all won't believe this, JV, but I was a ruffian. Is that a good word to use, JV?
Okay. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that. So I used to fight boys when I was younger. I did all of that. And I was a little rough, a little antagonistic to people. I know y'all can't believe that. And I was all of that. And I was always, my grandmother always told me if a boy hits you or whatever, to kick him in the nuts. That was her advice. Sorry, Nana in heaven, but kick him in the nuts. And I knew boys couldn't tell on us. So I beat them up. And if they mess with me, I kicked them in the nuts. And that was bad. Anyways, that's how kind of I grew up. So I didn't, men weren't supposed to hit women. So I got involved with someone. I thought he was really smart. And I had two kids at the time. So having two children at the time, he came in and I'm like, I will never forget this. He said, you know, hey, do you want to go to the store? I'm like, nope, can't go. I've got the kids. Bring them along. And I was like, wow, he likes my kids. I can bring them. I don't have to just stay home all the time. I have to hide them. He really wants me to be involved with the kids. I'm like, that is great. And then we would fuss and sometimes argue, but never in front of the kids. And then I lived in an apartment building. I really won't tell you where. I'm not proud of it. But I lived there, and I had a friend downstairs, which was Miss Blake. And it was kind of cute because he was, this is so embarrassing, but he was my pookie. And everybody has a pookie. I had a pookie. I didn't have to worry about nobody mess with me because all I had to do is get my boyfriend on them. He displayed a lot of the behaviors that I know right now is wrong. I remember, Jay, Anika, we talked about this the other day. So I remember we were all upstairs and in my apartment. It was myself, it was him, Anika, and a girlfriend of mine, which I will not name her, and her brother. And we were just chilling. I forgot. Anika, do you remember why we were there? Oh, okay, wait. Sorry, Anika, do you remember why we were there?
We were just there.
Chilling. We were chilling, right?
Yeah, we were just hanging out. It wasn't no specific reason.
Yeah, we're just hanging out. And so what happened was the girl's brother worked at Red Lobster. No laugh. It's not funny. But he worked at Red Lobster. And I guess I was so oblivious. He was like, yeah, you know what, Millie, you can come. You can kind of come over and to the restaurant, and I'll make you our famous biscuits. I'm like, okay, yeah, me and this person, my boyfriend, yeah, we'll be there. Thinking, okay, well, just see me. You see him sitting right here. You see this big dude sitting right here. But he kept at it. Remember, Anika, he would not stop.
Yeah.
And because he wouldn't stop, and I tried to make the best situation, never happened to me before, unfortunately, the guy I was with pulled out a gun and said, say it one more time. And we froze. So I had to ask my really good girlfriend at the time, which was not Anika, and her brother to leave. We laugh about that. But at that point, he was my pookie. So I was just like, well, you shouldn't have been talking shit. But that's not good. But I was okay with it. But then it was, we got in some kind of argument. And then it was, We were already involved, and he did, you know, what did he do? We were at a party, and he, what did he do? He gave me one of those pinches, and Anika, I don't know what they're called. Guys, I don't know what they're called. You can say whatever it is. He used to be undercover or police or whatever, and you could kill somebody with this pinch, I think, or put them to sleep if you do it on their shoulder. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, we know what you're talking about. And
oh, wow.
Many people can die like that. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, JB, I'm saying this for the first time in public, and I didn't know what that was. And so he thought we were at a Christmas party, and, you know, he was part thug, part teachers, intelligent. And so I was bragging because he was fine, but he thought I was talking about him. So when I finally came to the table after making his plate, he – oh, I did that. I picked up my nose. That's terrible. So he pinched me like that. He was like, I know you're over there talking about me. I will kill you. And that's how it started. So he did little stuff. But I stayed because, one, I was embarrassed. Like, I beat up boys. What? And, like, I used to be, no, this is not happening. So then he got in an argument with me one time, and he threw my keys, and he hit me in my face. He threw my keys to my car that he drove in my face. And I did stuff. I threw a trash can at him. So it was kind of a back and forth, but I never put my hands on him. He was really strong. And I was just like, oh, my God. And so me trying to fix this kind of relationship, he's also pulled a gun on me. He's also thrown me across his glass table across the room. So I went through it, and I had no idea because I couldn't tell my brothers. I couldn't tell my parents. I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't tell my son's father because that would have been bad. Let me just say, God rest his soul, but that would have been very bad. Bad, bad, bad. That would have been bad. My son loved him, so I just could not get out, and I finally told Anika. And then we cried, right, Anika? And we told the story.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get out, and I'm like, good God, when is this going to be over? When am I not going to care about this man? And I never forget it. She said, one day, you're just going to be over it. And one day, it took a minute, I woke up just like she said, and I was just over it. My mistake was trying to still be his friend because I was basically the only friend he had. And I always pacified him. He told me about other girls. I did it all. I feel like a big, fat dumbass because, like, really? And the biggest thing about this story, and Anika, you can attest to it, is that finally, after all this happened a long time ago, I was like 27. I'm old. After all this time, when he still wanted to be my friend, several years ago, I forgave him. And he was wondering why we couldn't get back together. And I told him finally why, although he apologized, he doesn't remember any of it.
Oh. Wow.
Can you believe
what?
He doesn't remember it. Anika, he didn't remember any of it. He was sitting in my house. He couldn't remember some of the sexual stuff. He did not know. So by him trying to talk to me, again thinking, oh, you're my best friend, I was immature, blah, 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 he didn't remember any of it. Mind you, his father whipped his mother's behind also. Red flag,
wow.
Didn't know it at the time. Remember Anika? So he didn't remember half of it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. It is so funny how men have selective freaking memory. I told the story.
I think that's just their defense.
You think so? Or do you think so?
I think that's just their defense. He remember.
He remembers.
Yeah, he remembers.
I the same thing.
Yeah, how
no
you going to do stuff like that?
Exactly.
But have you ever had an argument with someone? And then the next day, they'd be like, hey, babe, what's up? You'd be like, what the – wait a minute. And you act like you don't remember. You just was a jerk. Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I can
that's
get an amen now. Y'all ain't speaking.
That's it.
I feel
no,
like a
defense mechanism.
That was scary for me to admit. Oh, my God, I've never done that. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Whoosa. You know, I wanted to make a comment about the lady that was saying just because you didn't get hit and you know, punched at her husband didn't hit on her. He just disrespected her. I have a thought on that is that it's self-esteem. Because I have a sister, yes. A 63-year-old sister, that just let her man do whatever he pleased to do, call me crying on my shoulder, and then when I say something, as of right now, we're not speaking. Because he let him come between us, but he just does what he wants. Just such disrespectful stuff. And she's 63. So how long do y'all think this is going to last? Forever? They've been in the same relationship for a long time. They've been in this relationship for a long time, along with everybody else.
Well, all I can say is that men know who to pick. They know the ones that they can easily seduce into thinking that they are nobody. Nobody else wants them. And see, they isolate you first, and then they tell you all this crazy stuff, and you begin to listen to it, and after a while you find yourself a victim. And it only that when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired that you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and said, that's enough. You know, I mean, 3 years is too long. Any time is too long, but I couldn't stand a relationship like that because you have to know, first of all, who you are. And like Eva said, sometimes you deal with depression. Sometimes people tell you beautiful, but you don't even feel it. You don't even see it once the enemy come in and tell you that you're ugly, that you this, you that. Sometimes you begin to listen to it. But I had to stop listening to what the devil said.
So I feel like I hear someone here or rubbing up against something. It's quite discouraging. And I want everybody, this is an interactive radio show that JV and I have, and we really want to welcome you, anyone, whoever that is. I don't know what that is. Quite upsetting. So now, JV and Ms. Pinkney, my confusion is, I think because I was kind of,
Somebody's walking. It sounds like the
somebody's
wind.
Somebody's doing something. Okay, yeah. So, JV, what do you think after listening to my story, and especially Ms. Pinkney, what do you think? Because I was really cute to me. My self-esteem wasn't low at all. So I know they pick. That, but it's because I was kind of rough around the edges, you think? Because I was fine. Well, I still am, but still. Hello?
Hi.
Yeah, I have.
This is Eva. With your situation.
Okay, I can't do it.
What is that noise?
I don't know. I'm about to get it off. I'm about to find out who it is, but I can't. Keep going, Eva. Okay.
With your situation, I just think that you probably were really in love with this person. I mean, and that doesn't make it, you know, that's not making an excuse for the way he was treating you. I mean, because don't get me wrong, Millie, I'm speaking as if, you know, I just took these beatings, but anybody that was around could tell you I fought back.
All right.
I turned into, you know, I'm already a round away girl, so it didn't take much. You know, the first couple of times I might have took it, but after that it was like on.
Yeah.
So, but I just, you know, I just look back at my life and I'm just sorry, but I think it made me the person that I am. And so therefore I'm not going to say I wish it never happened, because whatever happens to you in life, it is preparing you for who you are going to become.
Yes, it is.
And
I'm
glad.
Right.
I'm glad to be where I am now. And Millie, I look at you, and you know you're a wonderful spirit. So you know,
you.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that we should have to take, you know, the physical abuse. But I don't. I want to. My new thing now is teach one, save one.
So if it's a young girl that I can touch, that's why I keep going to these young people, and I keep saying, you need to read my book.
Yes.
You really need to read
right.
my book, you know, because they get in these situations and they're tempted by the money and the glitter. And, you know, like my mother used to always say, everything that glitters ain't gold.
Not gold.
Mm-hmm. Right. So,
you know, if you jump and stuff,
I think in situations that
just aren't good.
One second.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think for me, I was very young when I got into the relationship. And he was actually 12 years older than me.
Mm.
And I think it was wanting someone that they could control, he could control. And until I got a little older and realized that I think the thing that attracted me to him was he was like a father figure to me because I did not have a father around. And so I think I was attracted to him as an older person, and you know, him telling me things in the beginning was interesting and good. But as I matured and got older, I didn't need anyone telling me how to dress, what to say. And that's when it all started. It did not start out physical. It did not start out with any of that, because I wouldn't have probably been with him if it did.
Exactly.
It was a progression that happened as the years. I can say that it was probably during the marriage of maybe year number 6 or something where it started to show. Because at that point, he didn't want me to work, and I was determined to work. He, you know, said, all you want to do is work and be around them white folks. And I was like, but that's paying the bill. And so I listened to what the young lady said about him doing things to her car. He started doing that to keep me from going and doing, you know, he would take I forget what that part was that you would take under the hood that would keep it from starting, a solenoid or something. So all these things happened as time started out with the, like she said, or I think it might have been another young lady, saying things to make you feel like you're less of a person, like nobody's going to want a woman with 3 kids and you're nothing and you're nobody, and cursing me and calling me all kind of names. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the relationships, they don't necessarily start out that way, and I think that's how we kind of get sucked into it. You know, I mean, he was very nice, very loving, all of that. And I did not experience the other side until I started putting my foot down and I stopped letting him control my life and everything that he wanted to control. That's when it started. So I think, I feel like the other lady that spoke, that we got to make people and women feel confident within themselves and their self-esteem, so that it doesn't have to depend on what a man says or that he has to control your every being. And I think if we could just start to reach a lot of these women, but they gravitate to the younger ones because they can control you.
Yeah, and we don't have, like, a great deal of time left in the show. So I would love everyone. I'm going to start with our beautiful special guest, Ms. Pinkney. Briefly, please let me know what you've learned personally from this experience.
Well, it's let me know that I'm able to do this, because this is the first time I've spoken publicly about you know, my abuse. So it felt good. You know, my daughter was worried that I was going to cry. And, you know, she said, are you going to be able to get through this? But, I mean, I feel strong because I'm just in a different space. And, you know, I'm really in a different space. I know that God has something. He has plans for me. So I'm good.
Love it. I love it. Miss White, can you briefly just tell us some of the things that you learned, life lessons, anything you can share with us? Okay, Ms. White, we'll come back to you. You're probably on mute. Ms. Buck, would you like to share?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
All right. ahead.
I've learned that I'm not anybody. I wasn't anybody myself at the time I thought I was. Mm. And I'm learning that there are more people than I ever dreamed of that's going through this. And as sad as it is to say, it's never about us. It's about helping that next person once we come out of it. Like Eva said, it's always that we have to reach someone else once we come out of it.
Right.
And I'm sorry that all of you went through it, but it's to help someone else and to pull them out. But as
right.
long as we have someone else to talk to about it, if we can open up and talk about it, then I feel that we can get help. And, you know, that was a long time ago in my life, but I feel like I'm just getting the healing that I need from it, you know.
Excellent, excellent. Ms. Buck, do you have anything you would like to add briefly?
Yes, I would like to ask a question.
Sure.
You know, as far as the self-esteem, you know, of course, my sister doesn't think any of that. So where do I start the process because I'm sure she doesn't think it's any type of abuse or anything. So I'm just trying to figure out where to start, because that was a good point when you said we have to help to bring them out of it. And not speaking to her is not a good thing, I admit. But she just, I'm just trying, I don't know what to say.
Sometimes you can't say anything. As much as you would like to help, you just have to pray for her and pray that God will allow her to see that it's abuse. I don't know whose phone that is, but it's somebody in the background. But anyway, she has to see that she's in it. You know, as much as you would like to help her, sometimes there's nothing you can do but try to or pray for her, because she has to be the one to see it.
Okay.
Right. JV, do you have any comments?
And I think also you have to be patient with them because like myself, I was fearful of what would happen once I left.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that they have a support system in place. Mm-hmm. Because I had so many different people that he didn't know about that I could go and he not know where I was. Because that's the thing. He knows your relatives. He knows your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows a lot of places that you go. So that's the part that's very fearful, is that where am I going to go? How am I going to get away from him, really, without, like the young lady did, relocate? Because really that's probably the best thing to do. Is relocate. Be patient with her and help her if you can, to just say, look, I know it's a difficult situation to be in, but I just want you to know I am here for you. And when you're ready to make that move, we're going to do it together. And I'm going to make sure that you're going to be okay. So don't think that I'm not here for you, but you got to be ready.
I love that, JV. I'm going to give you a round of applause. I love that. Denise,
thank
I'm going to go to you, and I'll finish it off. I really wanted to hear what you guys had to say. Do you have anything that you would like to say, any lessons you've learned or learned from other people that you can share with us? Okay. I think Denise was the one cooking. It sounded like she's chopping. Okay. We'll get back to Denise. I'm a little not afraid to say what I've learned, because nobody else said anything like what I was about to say. So I'm a little hesitant, but I'll just tell you what I learned. Oh, wow, scary. So, Anika, I know you're listening. What I've learned was, one, never put your hands on a man. That's for me, no matter what. I don't care what it is. You got to put your hands on a man, out of there. No. That was one. The second thing I learned was I have a son, so I understand a lot more about men by having a son. So, and I don't want him to put his hands on anybody or anybody to put their hands on them or speak to him in a way that's disrespectful. So I no longer, because I have a potty mouth. Be quiet, Jimmy. Be quiet, Anika. But and I cuss like a sailor, I know, and I will cuss you out in a minute, call you all kind of names. I no longer do that either. Well, men, let me just say, I don't do that. If I have to speak to you that way, then we don't need to be together. What else did I learn? One of the last things that I learned, and Anika, and we talked about this, I became his friend, which is, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but because I became his friend, I was the only one he had, at least I thought that, duh, me, I pacified him. Never, ever pacify a man in that, no, 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 you like to save people, no, 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 you're a good man, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't. He's not a good man. No, he's not a good man. Yes, it is your fault. I did the opposite. Now, I could pacify you and say, hey, those shoes look good. Yeah, you go, boy. That. But as far as pacifying, when you know you're wrong, you're wrong. I pacified him for years. I would never, ever pacify a man ever again in my life. And I had to look at what I was doing wrong. I was a very, very antagonistic woman. I will antagonize. I don't do that either. I just, something that I just don't do. And I forgot, was it you, Eva, who said that I was in love?
Yeah.
I was not. That was not love, because I thought I was, but that wasn't love. It was just somebody that I thought I loved, but love was not supposed to hurt the way that it did. Love's not supposed to throw you across tables and put a gun to your head. And I have kids, so, and I let them borrow money, and I did all of, I ain't let no man borrow no money ever again, but that's another story. because when you pacify them and you do those things, like if you give them an inch, just like answering a text or anything, they take a mile and they think in their mind, I have a slim chance to get back in if you acknowledge their foolishness. So I know I didn't say everything that everybody else said. I'm just really upset and parched, actually. So that, JV, I hope you're on your way. But I just have learned a lot. So the warning signs are there for me. I have never, ever been through that, even close to that situation ever again in my life, because I just let it go immediately. It's like, okay, great. Have a great day. Deuces. So that's what I've learned. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sharon Berry. Amen. Thank you. I'm on Facebook Live. A lot of women are on this live. This show is important. I hope I've helped someone. I know that all the ladies on this line have helped somebody. So I'm very going to give y'all I'm using my applause button because JD hates it. She hates the button, don't you, JD? You hate it. You notice I'm really. Using when you're not. You're not here.
Yes.
Miss Pinkney, we are going to get off here in a few moments. JV and I really want to thank you. I did not know this was your first time speaking about it, and so we have that in common. I've spoken about it too. Anika, she lived most of it with me while I was going through it, and she has her own trials. I was opposed, but thank you for sharing that on our show. It was very difficult. I did think that I would break down and cry or anything, and it just came out because you're right. I am in a different space. You're in a different space, and we're all in a different space. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I think the comment that I want to make is that I feel like we're very blessed. And because mm-hmm. a lot of women do not live to tell their story.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I'm thankful to God that I'm even here to talk about there is a life afterwards.
That's right.
But it is a very difficult journey. Some of us make it and some of us don't. So
right.
I just say again that a great support system is really what makes a big difference.
I'm a non-judgmental support system.
Yes.
I did learn one more thing, and I just want to share it with you. I'm hoping I'm speaking to somebody. If anybody has daughters on this line, one thing, because I was always able to kind of play fight with men, because I was a tomboy, right? You know, punching and stuff like that. I saw my daughter do it, my niece, God rest her soul. She's in heaven now. I've seen them kind of play fight with men. I immediately said, do not play fight with men. Don't do it. Don't ever, because you'd be playing. It'd be all fun. And then one day they could be in a space that they weren't expecting, and they're going to hit you back. And then you're crying foul. Don't even play fight with the men. I've learned that also. Okay,
I agree.
No, okay.
You
oh,
can't, well, you know, the bottom line, you cannot compete with a man. You're just not. We're women and
no,
we're
I cannot.
Men.
I will say
this, that things got to a point in my relationship that I actually had a knife under every sofa, chair, bed, you name it, and he actually found
too.
The knife. And I came home and he had them all sitting out saying, oh, you. I said, well, look, it's getting to the point where one of us is either you or me. So
wow.
Yeah, I'm not going to fight with you. I just was going to cut you.
Oh, my gosh, Anika, because Anika, you were famous for cutting people. Okay, I ain't going to tell you anything. Oh, my God. Anika, are you still on this phone?
I'm still on here. Yes, I am.
Anika used to be like, look, I will cut you. Don't try it. I'm like, oh, Lord, you're about to cut somebody. Anika, and you might, if you don't want to speak, and that's okay, because I'm going to get to Millie's moments and we got and JB's thoughts. Do you have anything you want to say?
I'm not really ready to speak on I would just say that from my experiences, this has happened more than once, and one relationship has been more than one relationship that this has happened mm-hmm. in. I would say for myself that when you see the first sign, to get out of it. Don't say, oh, I love him. Oh, I want to try to make it work. Oh, I want to do this for your child. It's not going to work. I did all prayers. I prayed. Wasn't going to happen because that wasn't the intention for me to happen. So I would just say to the first sign is to just leave it alone. Don't say, okay, I forgive him and we're going to start up, because it's not going to work. It's just not, because you're going to continue to go through it all the time. Whether it's a hit, whether it's being abusive mentally, physically, or verbally, it's all abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it'll start from just verbal and lead on to something else. So the first sign is to just get out of it.
Mm. Well, I appreciate that. We're going to give you a round of applause. You're going to delete my applause button, ain't you, JV? I know you are. So I want to go to Millie's moments. We are nearing the end of the show. We have to thank our sponsors. We also want to give a big shout out to Miss Eva Pinkney. I have a question, and if you guys can answer it as honestly as possible and just give just a brief answer, I would appreciate it. As my Millie's moments, my question is this simply. Do you guys believe that statistics for domestic violence and things of that nature are going down because of the awareness of it? Well, we'll start with you, our special guest, Ms. Eva Pinkney. What do you say?
I think right now with the Me Too movement that women are starting to stand up and be seen and be heard. So I think this is a different time. So maybe it will go down. I don't know what the statistics are right now.
Okay. I actually, unfortunately, more than one in three women, 35.6%, and more than one in four men, 28.5% in the U.S. report having experienced rape, physical violence, and or stalking by an intimate partner in their lifetime. Nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. During 1 year, this adds up more than 10 million women and men. Nearly one in four women and one in seven men, have experienced severe physical violence by an intimate partner during their lifetime. Intimate partner violence accounts for 15% of all violent crimes. In 15 states, more than 40% of all homicides of women in each state involve intimate partner violence, and 85% of domestic violence victims are female, 15% are male. Women with disabilities have 40% greater risk of an intimate partner violence, especially severe violence, and than women without disabilities. Two in five gay or bisexual men will be experiencing intimate partner violence in their lifetime. And goodness gracious, these are, I could go on for the next 20 minutes with these statistics. Maybe I answered my own question, JV. With the awareness, you would think it was going down, and maybe it just isn't. But you're saying that.
You just answered your question.
The answer is no, my God.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. And I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's the expectation that men have. I'm not going to say all men, but it's the expectation mm-hmm. that a lot of men have, that we should want to do it. We should be overjoyed.
I know, right?
Yeah.
JV, so, and I know I want you to get to JV's thoughts, but I do have a question, JV, and I'm so sorry to cut you off. I didn't mean to do that at all. And the question just flew out of my head because I cut you off probably. Oh, I forgot the question. Jeez. All right,
I'm going to say my JV thoughts, and then I'm going to have to say goodnight. I think for me, and I've already said it, and I probably can't say it enough, that we need a support system. Women need a support system. Too many of us are not able to, because we're embarrassed. Really, we are.
Yeah,
I know I was.
Yep,
we're embarrassed. I didn't want to tell anybody. I didn't want people trying to kill my kid's father, even though I probably felt like he needed it. But I was like, wow, I can't kill my children's father. So we're embarrassed. And we just, you know, we need for someone to be patient with us and to help us. And I would tell you, I cannot remember how many different people's homes I stayed at, because he knew where I was this night, so he would go looking there, so I would go stay somewhere mm-hmm. else. Then he would figure I'm over there, so he'd go there, so now I'm staying somewhere else. So I was literally staying everywhere and anywhere. I left all my possessions at the house, never to go back again, and I just said, you know what, if I can just have my life, all the rest of this stuff I can regain. So, again, I just hope if anyone wants to speak to me personally, you can hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, JV Jones. If you need any help, resources, I'll be more than happy to assist. I do know of some places that people can go that they won't know where you are. So I just want to say that I can be of assistance in that area.
Well, thank you so much, JV Jones. What I will do is if everybody goes, shameless plug, but goes and likes Connect the City on Facebook, you will see that each of the posts I put up about the show, you will see the hotline that you can go to for that. Also, all of these statistics, that's going to take me about 30 minutes to 30 minutes to say, I will put those all up on Connect the City, so look out for that. JV Jones, thank you so much. I did want some, I'm a little parched. Are you bringing me something to eat, like some wings or something, or that's a big fat no?
Call me offline.
That's a no, guys. He's just trying to be nice. I'm just playing. Thank you so much, JV. I know you're at an event, and you took this basically hour and a half to speak with us. We want to give a special shout-out to our special guest who spoke with us for the first time, Miss Eva Pinkney. She's the author of Crazy Is As Crazy Does, Part 1. Miss Pinkney, can you tell them how to get the book and how to reach you on us over social media?
You can get the book from Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you can reach me on Instagram at eva.pinkney, and you can reach me on Facebook at Eva Pinkney.
Oh, thank you so much. We appreciate that. I'm not sure. I've got a lot of people on Facebook. No one had any questions. I think people were just listening, which I really, really am happy about. I'm trying to find out why this guy is giving me the laughing emoji, which now I'm not sure if I should be offended. So, Mr. Allen, please let me know why you're giving me the laughing emoji, because none of this is funny. So I'd like to know that. We are going to end the show, but we do have sponsors. I want to say something. Usually we have hashtag I can and hashtag I can't, but this was a whole episode about just listening and networking with other women who've been through this. We have Not About Me Ministries, one of our sponsors, located at 3106 Branch Avenue, Temple Hills, Maryland. Maryland services every Sunday at 10 a.m. Please go check them out. We are also sponsored by DC Nightlife, www.dcnightlife. This is definitely where you can find the best in entertainment news and events and reviews. We also have a special dating app for singles. It's called Lunch Maybe Dinner. It's different, it's edgy, and promises to deliver just lunch and maybe dinner. The app is out right now in the Play Store for Android users, and it will be on the Apple Store very, very soon. Again, everyone on this line, thank you so much. Miss Eva Pinkney, thank you so much. Guys, you have a great evening. We will look for you guys in the next couple of weeks when we will definitely be talking about voting and blacks in politics today. We vote November 6th, I think. Right? Is it November 6th or it's the 6th, right, guys?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to do a show the Tuesday before that, because across the nation they're having voting parties. They're having all kinds of things. People are reaching out to me. I mean, I've always voted, but JV and I, and JV's the more political kind of person, we will definitely have a show about that. So please do not, please feel free to join us. Okay, join us in the next 2 weeks. I don't have the date yet, but I know it's probably about the 20th. What is today's date? The 8th?
Tonight.
20-something. Today's the 9th. Lord, I can't even keep up with days, guys. But join us in 2 weeks. The wings. Got you. All right, guys. Thank you so much. You guys have a great, great evening. I admire you all. Thank you so much for coming on Connect the City. This is Millie in the City, guys. Join us in 2 weeks. I'm out of here pretty soon, guys. Guys, thank you guys for joining us. Right. Mr. Allen, I'm hungry. I just feel like somebody should bring me something. Really. Thank you for my thumbs up. Bye-bye, guys. Until we meet again, 2 weeks.